The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It was like some part of my life, it was just like something missing. And we just, you know, we kind of like, she would send me pictures of us. I would send her pictures of
reminiscing.
No, this, I mean, this is like, this is what we were doing.
Yeah. You know,
secretly.
Because during that time, I was with somebody else.
So you tell me y'all was cheating on y'all people with each other.
We weren't cheating, but
y'all
we
reminiscing.
We
y'all, was. Y'all was emotionally cheating.
Yeah. I'm not happy over here. You're not happy over there. What are we doing?
Love is a treasure chest, but once opened, our hearts become vulnerable.
I went back to Vegas. It was this guy. He appeared as a friend. Sure enough, it led to infidelity.
Alignment can't be ignored.
We talked about certain topics as far as having kids. She didn't want to have kids. And that was one of the red flags.
And I know you desire marriage. So I think it's best you move on with your life.
What you do, hold on, Lisa, what you do?
I told him, okay.
She didn't ask me why.
I knew several other women's bodies better than I knew my own. I watched their videos of them having sex, so I would try to imitate that.
No discussion is off limits. Dear Future Wifey podcast brings healing.
You inspire us to try God a little bit more.
But through this platform, I realized that it's possible. It's possible to love again.
The conversations have really helped me to change my perspective on relationships.
Season 7 is all about tough topics. I'm Lateris R. Winfield, and welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast.
Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. I'm your host, Lateris R. Whitfield. Listen, are you still shacking up with us? If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. This is season 7. We're about one episode left from concluding this Tough Topics season. And we've touched on a whole lot of stuff, and y'all been rocking with us. This episode is going to be pretty powerful. Yeah, got some friends on the podcast today, and we always talk about keeping it lit. The mantra of the podcast is we keep it lit. We live intentionally and transparently, and this is going to be one of those episodes. I know you've seen in these social media streets of people spinning the block. You got Nelly and Ashanti back together. Well, today, welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast, my homies, Harriet and Marcus Speed. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Now, we in this thing.
Yeah, we in this thing.
So let me tell y'all something, Speeds. I was like, I talked to Harriet when she left. Y'all were going through a divorce, and I saw her relocate to Atlanta. And then I look on social media, y'all back together. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? So did y'all actually get a divorce, or how far did it go?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We filed.
Yeah, I mean, it was final.
And y'all got a divorce. So when was the divorce final?
It was June the 8th of 2022, which was the day after our 10th anniversary.
Hold on.
We got married on June 7th.
We got married June 7th.
Y'all got married June the 7th, And then June the 8th, your divorce was finalized.
Yes.
10 years after y'all said I do.
Yes.
Y'all said I don't.
Yes.
And then how long have y'all been separated and then come back together? How long was that separation?
About a year, maybe a year and three months.
Yeah. A year and three months.
A little over a year.
And then what brought y'all back together?
So when I came back, I moved. We separated, got a divorce. I moved to Atlanta. I moved back to help my oldest daughter. She was having some trouble financially. So I came back to help her, you know, get back on the right track or whatever. And what happened with us? We went to dinner one day.
What happened, Marcus? You tried to holler at her? Marcus said, what's up?
I'm going to be honest. We just, I don't know. It was just like the...
So y'all were still in communication in that year?
I mean, we got kids together.
Yeah.
So we got two small kids together. So we kept in communication or whatever. But I don't know. It was like some part of my life, it was just like something missing. And you could tell the same thing was kind of going on with her. And we just, you know, we kind of like, she would send me pictures of us. I was sending her pictures of
us. Reminiscing.
Reminiscing.
No, I mean, this is like, this is what we were doing.
Yeah. You know?
Secretly.
Because during that time, I was with somebody else and he was with somebody else.
So you tell me y'all was cheating on y'all people with each other.
We weren't cheating, but
y'all
we were
reminiscing. Y'all was emotionally cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheating is cheating. Text message to me is cheating.
Yeah, we were cheating.
Yeah. And so y'all were reminiscing.
Yeah.
We reminiscing, and
we went out to eat, and one thing led to another, and next thing you know, we was just like, move these people out the way.
Exactly.
I mean, pretty much that's been,
exactly what happened. Was.
That's pretty much how it went down. It was like, you know, like, look, we faked it. This ain't even what it is.
I'm not happy over here. You're not happy over there. What are we doing?
Yeah, like, we faking it. Like,
so, Marcus, let me ask you this. As a man, what was missing with, comparatively speaking?
Man, you know, Everybody don't do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a man, you're gonna be a man,
right?
Regardless.
What does that mean? I want people to understand what that means.
I'm saying, like, you're gonna take care of your family,
you're right?
Take care of your kids, you're gonna take care of your business, or whatever. But sometimes, even in the motion of being a man, you kind of like mess out stuff, and you need that person that kind of make you better. That kind of can take, like, okay, you doing this, you got this, you know. I could turn this into this.
Right.
And that's kind of what she is. She like, I got ingredients, but she know how to put the ingredients together, and boom. You know what I'm saying? Like, she make me, I'm a better person when I'm with her and my kids and my family. I'm a better person.
So, Harriet, what was lacking from you?
Everything. I mean, I missed him. That year was the worst year of my life that we were separated. It was really hard. It's just like, I missed everything. Just simple things, getting a flat tire, knowing he's going to come running, pulling up on two wheels, you know. Seriously, I call him no matter what time. Oh, where you at? Bye-bye. He's there. You know what I'm saying? Before the tow trucks, just little stuff like that. And it's just, I just missed all of that. I missed him. I missed our daily routine. I missed everything.
So we're together, like, even now, we together every day. We work together, you know what I mean? We live together. I ain't gonna lie, if we not together, it's like you gotta whack.
Yeah. So y'all are not just back together, y'all have gotten engaged again, correct?
Yeah.
When did you propose
to her?
I have an official proposal. I did. I gave a ring.
Right.
I got on my knees, I proposed.
It was just us at Papa Do's.
Why you say it's not official then?
No, because, you know, she wanted to, you know, I wanted, my dream was like to, not had intentions.
Well, don't say it, because if you say it, it might not.
It won't be a surprise.
Yeah, and it ain't gonna come true.
So you have a different proposal in mind.
I want to give her this time.
Okay, you know? So you want a different one.
But I wanted to go ahead and lock her down.
Yeah. You weren't playing these games, was you?
Yeah, I wanted to go and lock her down.
Was that necessary, Harriet? For him to go to that next level and actually propose?
To me, it wasn't necessary. If it's, you know, clearly it was something he wanted to do, so he did it or whatever. But
It's like, we've been together so long. I don't care about a wedding. He like, do you want a wedding? I don't. I don't want to spend all that money. You know,
yeah.
We've been together this long. We know we love each other. We don't need to put on a show for people. You know, let's take that money and buy another building, another business, or do something like that. So for me, it wasn't necessary, but I love it.
He's up. Thank you.
I'm thankful.
So are y'all going to have a wedding?
I don't know. I mean, whatever she wants.
All right. Well, clearly says she don't want it.
Probably just a reception.
A reception. Or just throw a party.
A party.
See, that's the thing about me and her. Like, I'm bored. So y'all just be like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, whatever she want.
Whatever she want to do.
Let's rewind the hands of time and let people know how y'all got here. How did y'all meet?
So, we knew of each other, like just in the streets, passing up, growing up in our 20s. But how we actually met, and we're being totally transparent, I just came home from prison. And I was
up. See, Harriet went to school with me. She was in high school with me. Now, Harriet was the girl. Well, she was one of the women. I don't know if you know this, Marcus, but she was one of the girls that all the guys liked. You know what I'm saying? She was the baddie at the school.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. He said, I know firsthand. Yeah. And so that's what the story was. And then shortly after high school, how many years after high school did you go to jail?
Maybe 10 years.
It was that long after high school?
Yeah, it was that long. Latier's side wasn't that bad now.
Well, I don't know. Time was going by fast. You tell me it's about 28 or something?
No, it was, it's 10 years.
Okay. So 10 years, you go to jail. And you went to jail for what?
I went to jail a few times. So the first time, identity theft. And I've been a couple of times. So when I say I met him after I got out, was my last time getting out. My very, very last time getting out.
Yeah. And then, so you met him how?
So I sent him a friend request, Facebook. Mm-hmm. I came out. I don't know anything about Facebook. So they were like, you know, you just invite people. And I seen his name. I was like, oh, I remember him. You know, sent him a friend request. And one night I seen he was selling cars. Yeah. So I messaged him one night and I was like, my friend's looking for a car. Can you send me your number? Blah, blah. So he's flirting. And he's like, yeah, here's my number and make sure you use it too.
That's not flirting.
What is that? Let's say, what you call
he
it?
He shot his shot.
He shot his shot.
And I caught it.
And here we are.
And here we are. So, ladies, answer the DMs. Do not answer the DMs, okay? Yeah. All right.
And so you said you've been to jail a few times as well.
Yeah, I went to prison.
You went to prison. Yeah. And so how long was the longest? You only went one time? Was it one stint?
Yeah, that's all it took.
And how long was that stint?
It was just, 17 months.
Oh, 17 months. And what was that for?
For possession of marijuana.
Oh, okay, marijuana. And how long was your longest stint?
Mine was 3 years. The last time that I went to prison, TDC, was 3 years.
So it was 3 years.
Yes.
So when did y'all meet each other shortly after y'all both got out?
No, I had been out. Because we've been with 08. I had been out about 3 years now when I met her.
Yeah, I was fresh out.
He said fresh out,
literally. I might have been home maybe 4 months, 5 months when I met him.
Yeah.
And then when I met him, after our first date, we've never been apart.
Really?
Ever.
So what was it about that first date?
It was the conversation for me. It was a conversation and...
Mind you, though, we both were broke.
Okay. But, so y'all both broke?
But...
Both broke.
But, I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't know how she was. She know how I was. But we both know who we are, though.
From the past.
Y'all knew each other before.
No, I'm saying like she.
Are you talking about, you know, recognizing the, like, yeah, you from the, you from the street. I'm from the street.
We, right. We both have been up down. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you know. At
so y'all
the time,
knew
the
talking.
Though, at
right.
the time we was both down.
Yeah.
We didn't have $5.
You know, I was really waiting to go. When I met her, I was really waiting to go back to prison.
You was waiting.
Yeah, I thought I was, but I didn't.
Why you say
thank
you
God. Was waiting?
I got blessed.
Blessed.
It didn't happen.
We say, Marcus, you was waiting to go back. You like, yeah, well, they're going to pick me up any time now.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, that's what it was, though. You know?
And so you said that y'all were down. What was y'all first date? We hear all this nonsense about Cheesecake Factory dates and all that type of stuff.
We met a kid.
Yeah, it was at Kenyatta's house.
So y'all met somebody's house in the parking lot.
In the parking lot.
We were sitting in the car.
Yeah, and that was our first
date. That was our first date.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it. I love it. Keep it simple.
Just talking about our dreams and
what dreams did you have at that time, Marcus?
At the time, what I wanted to do some high shots and
he was on the high shots, and I wanted to open beauty shops.
And that's what we did. That's what we did. Like the next year, we ended up doing that. I got me a truck and trailer. See, I got a beauty shop before I got the truck and trailer. And we did all kind of business.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get to all them different business y'all did since then. And Harriet used to make all the hairstylists in Dallas mad because she used to do $50 sew-ins.
Yes.
And she used to do my daughter's hair. $50 sew-ins. Why did you do that? And how did you make so much money doing that for
$50? The $50 sew-ins. So this is another thing. When I got out of prison, I went and worked at my friend Benicia's beauty salon. And then another friend of ours that we grew up with, Jamila Camp, she came in one day to get her hair done. And she whipped open her laptop. She was like, Harry, let me show you what they're doing in Atlanta. I said, oh, let me take a look. And she showed me it was somebody who had a $50 sewing shop. And that's it. She didn't need to show me nothing else. The numbers start going. Everything just started going in my head. So my sister-in-law, she was doing lashes, so me and her, we decided to get our own shop and $50 sew-ins. I was doing it myself, and I had so many people.
Yep.
I had so many people waiting to get in, like my inbox, 50, 100 people.
Yep.
We hired, 10 people, 10, 15 people, just to be able to handle all the people that I couldn't handle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this was $50 sew-ins.
And so how much would you make a week?
A week? I'm gonna say maybe $3,000-$4,000, about $3,000 or $4,000.
God,
yeah. I mean, I could do, and I'm not bragging because I don't even do hair anymore. Yeah. But I could do a sew-in in 45 minutes, flat.
You forgot. I know you used to do my dogs. I was like, how is she doing this?
Yes.
Hairstylist was so mad at you.
So mad. Yeah. So mad. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Why do you think they were so mad?
Because when I came out, the average price for a sew-in was about $150, $200. So you come, you do good work, you're charging less than me. Of course the people are going to go to you. And I lose my people, so they're mad. Yeah.
You was making $3,000-$4,000. That means you was doing hair. What was a normal work day for you?
It varied during the week, but on the weekends, every morning I started at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And end at when?
I don't know, but I did a person like every hour. Every hour. I'm serious. I had a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. I might have left maybe by 5 o'clock, 5 or 6. I might have took my last one.
And at one point, you end up having like, what, 3 salons?
Yes, we did. We had some in Lancaster, Arlington. We had 2 in Arlington, Dallas. And now my sister-in-law, she has one in DeSoto. She's still there at DeSoto on Polk.
She ain't doing no $50 sew-ins, though.
Yeah, they're still doing $50 sew-ins.
Still $50?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, they have things that are higher than $50, but they have, they have the basic things.
Yeah, inflation kind of took it up.
It should be $100 sew-ins.
For real? Yeah. So then, Marcus, and at that same time, what were you doing?
I'm doing high shots. First, I would drive trucks. I started driving trucks for Lil' Cuz, because she didn't want me out there.
Yeah.
So she wanted me, like, doing some productive. So my first gig was at Bison. I was driving trucks at Bison for a little bit. Me and my partner, one of my partners, he got me on out there. We did that for, I don't know, a few months. And then I got me a dude. I started, doing my own hot shot thing. And I got into the cars again. You know what I mean? The cars really was like starting on financing. I was working in the back office doing financing at the car lots and stuff. And that kind of, I learned something different there. That kind of changed stuff, you know what I mean? And from there, I just been kind of dealing with banking and credit and stuff like that.
Let's talk about your humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Where you come from?
I'm from Oak Cliff.
What type of family did you come from?
I come from a entrepreneur family, but I mean, I come from a family of chance takers.
Chance takers. Who was your father?
My dad, Esau Speed.
What did Esau do for a living?
He had a few things. He had a funeral home, had a car lot, at gas stations. And, you know, we sold drugs.
A big kingpin. He was known.
Yeah, he was known. Yeah.
He was known.
No, no.
He was known. No,
no. No.
Yeah.
He ain't sell like we so weak. Like if it was real top, if it was today, we was legal.
What is that?
I mean, cause we didn't sell no but weed. We just sold a lot of it. You know, like 18 Willis.
We sold a lot 18 of it.
We yeah. Say Marcus 18 Willis.
Yeah, 18 Willis. You know what I'm saying? We did. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I can talk about it now.
I know.
You know, we did. We sold 18 Willis full. You know. I ain't gonna lie to you. But, you know, everybody thought we sold keys and this and that, but we just sold weed.
Y'all sold that much weed.
This is how we sold. 18 wheelers full of weed.
18 wheelers.
Yeah, we had, like, warehouses, like, full of weed. Big blocks. Yeah, I ain't lying.
So you grew up seeing a bunch of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah, I counted my first million at 9.
You said what? You counted?
Not mine. I know. I helped my
dad. You counted your daddy's money. He had $1 million. Yeah, he told you to count it.
I helped him count $1 million cash at 9 years old, yeah.
What was that like to you to see that kind of money?
And it was just cool. It didn't do nothing to me, though. I was like,
you was used to it.
Yeah,
it was normal. It was a secret, it's normal.
Though. I knew it was a secret.
Okay.
You know, like we, my old man, we smoked weed. If he had like a little seed on the table, friends would come over. If I saw it before that.
Oh, for real?
Because I never wanted to lose my daddy.
That's good.
So I never would. You know, my old man was always known as, a businessman. So I never, talked about nothing. No cash, no money, no nothing.
But you was a kid going to school with the latest Jordans and everything else?
No, not really. I wore Levine's.
Really?
We did. My mom and daddy was country. My dad wore jewelry, not jewelry.
So you have that.
But we wore Wranglers. We wore
Rustler jeans.
We shopped in Levine's. I'm serious. Like all the people that worked for my dad and my mom and dad, all their kids dressed way better than us. That's how I found out about Hilfiger and Polo.
From the other kids.
Yeah, seriously. From the other kids. Like I ain't know nothing about it. No Jordans and stuff like that. One time, man, my mama went by with some XJ900.
Oh, that's what I used to wear.
And I'm in the
from
lunch
Payless
line.
Cashway. I mean, from Payless.
This is how far I didn't know. I thought they were Jordans.
Oh yeah, because they was lookalikes.
Yeah, but I'm in the school line and lunch, and I heard these kids in the background talking about he got them fake Jordans on. He got them fake Jordans. So I turn around talking about who? You know what I'm saying?
You.
And the dude walk up on me like, hey man, you know them fake, don't you? I'm like, you lying.
So
I go home. I'm like, Mom, these fakes. She's like, well, I thought they were the same thing. And my dad, he was like, Bud, he was like, why you get them fakes? So he took us that night, though. He took me to the mall and bought me some blue and white Jordan. That just came out. And I hit the school the next day. I was the only one in school with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah.
So they didn't focus on clothing like
my
that.
My mom and dad, my dad bought cars and jewelry and real estate. He didn't start dressing until I started dressing.
You talking about when you got older,
in
high school?
Older. My dad, that's when he started wanting to dress up. You know what I'm saying?
Dress nice.
Yeah.
And so you grew up seeing entrepreneurship from both sides of it because he had legit businesses as well as illegitimate businesses. But you watched him vacillate between both worlds. And how do you think that framed your ideology when it came to money?
When it came to money?
Yeah, when you grew up, do you say, I'm finna have money like this?
I don't know. I ain't never felt like it was hard to get. I always felt sometimes it get rough, but you just gotta just figure it out.
And yeah.
You'll figure it out.
And so after you say all it took was one time to go to prison and you learned, what did prison teach you?
It's for dumb niggas, excuse me.
No, you say niggas. Remember, my most viral video was a girl wig falling off that said, oh my God, nigga.
It seemed like I ain't gonna say no disrespect to guys that's in prison.
Yeah.
It's cause some people only get one chance to get a lot of years.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys that go back and forth. They dumb to me.
You didn't though.
Cause you know what I'm saying? You didn't. You would still be going.
Yes, I'm done.
You know what I'm saying?
Be going.
Now I'm saying like it was cats that felt like that was like
their lifestyle.
Hell, like a glory.
Yeah.
To go back and forth. I used to be like, nah,
man. So once I get out, I ain't coming back.
What?
Because it was a white, this white guy, he used to come and talk to the guys who first come into prison. I went to prison in Mississippi.
Mm.
Know where they made a life at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where I was at.
Same place. Wow.
But it was a white guy. It was cool. But he would come in and talk to all the guys. It would be like about 200-300 of us. You know, when we first come in, he was like, how many of y'all say y'all never come back to prison again? Everybody raised their hand. And he was like, only about 10 of y'all tell the truth. And you look around, you like, dang, everybody else coming back?
God,
I used to be like, man, I'm going to be them 10.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of them 10.
I'm going to be one of them 10. I always thought like that. I'm going to be one of them 10.
Yeah. Was it hard, though, when you a lot of our brothers have been in and out of prison, and they feel like being a product of their own environment, they get institutionalized where they come back home, quote unquote, with the right intentions, but because they can't find jobs, quote unquote, that's the reason why they say, of course, we always say, no, you can find jobs, you do this, but that's what they say. And then they end up going back because they want that quick money or whatever caused them to go to prison. They do the same thing. And then they think they're smarter now that they're not going to get caught. Mm-hmm. Were you faced with those challenges? You said you had some broke days. Yeah, so how did you function in those broke days, not doing what led you to go to prison?
Man, start reading. I read some books, and they changed my life. And by reading those books, I seen that it's not about a product. It's just about you. You know what I'm saying? What you believe you deserve. And, like, certain opportunities going to come in different ways. You kind of got to be like a lion that's sitting up under the tree waiting to hit a deer. You know what I'm saying? Either you're going to wait on 1,000 deers to pass you by, or you're going to just grab one. You know what I'm saying? You're going to grab you one and be like, let me see what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of how, you know, like, I feel like God always feed us.
Yeah.
No matter what. So, you know, like, I don't think like that no more. Like, I got to go get a plug. Or I got to go get some dope. I got to go get some wings.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just waffles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can do the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Your weight just look different, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little different. Same hustle, different product.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, at what point after y'all met, how long did it, when you met her and y'all had that long talk in the car, were you the type of guy that always wanted to get married, or were you like, I
always wanted to be married.
You did? Why?
Because my mom and dad were married.
So you witnessed marriage at a young age and said that's what you wanted for yourself?
When I was little, I said I wanted to be married when I was 21.
Really?
I did.
How old were you when you met her?
I'm 35, 34. We just turned 35 and got married.
30-something. 30.
And so how long did it take you to realize that that's who you wanted as your wife?
She got married, what, 6 months?
We got married, like...
I mean, we were married pretty much the day
Five
we met.
Months. We got married.
Because we ain't never been apart. Yeah,
we you got, said the day y'all met?
We met in January, and we married in June.
In June.
And we wasn't apart anywhere in between. We was together every day.
So, seriously.
I guess he, I don't know.
So you knew that when you first met him?
Nah, I was just like.
Sometimes you can just start hanging out with people by default. Hey, I want this woman to be my wife?
I don't know. I think it just kind of like
it was crept like, up on you.
No, it was. Let me tell you what it was though. It was a guy. One guy got the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
At the apartment, and the guy was like, "Man, once you get married, your whole life gonna change." He was just talking to me. We was out talking. You know, he was married, and I was like, "Man, I really believe that." Because at the time, we were struggling. Like, you know, she was doing her selling purses. I'm towing cars, all kind of stuff. Cars get repoed.
That was you?
Yeah.
Our car.
Oh, y'all cars get repoed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got Ford Focus.
It's a Fusion.
Yeah, Ford Fusion. Those, what, $600 car note, though.
So who had the car? Did y'all have one car? Y'all shared?
No, we had one car.
We shared it.
Yeah, like, we really started from nothing, you know, like, and then it was like, you kind of appreciate that.
100%. You know
what I mean? Like a person that kind of take you through your bad times.
Yes.
And your good times, you know what I mean? So I like with her, I could like kind of be like, you know, I fart, I could be anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like
that's real.
You know, like I could just be me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't got a high side, like, hey baby, we gotta slow down, money get, you know.
Yeah.
I ain't gotta walk in her head like, you know what I'm saying, we just big boy, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or even with the money, if it, you know, if we gone and we gotta figure out to get some more money, like it ain't never been like, ah, oh, man, what is, you know, it's always been like, shit, we'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to figure it out. It's never been like a blame game. Or it's like a, I don't know, man. It's like a, it's, ain't, it's real. Like it is.
So 6 months later, you said, hey, meet me at the altar in your white dress. How'd y'all get married? Did y'all get married at a courthouse? Wasn't that an official wedding or how was
it? No, we got married in his friend's
backyard
living room. Then we took the picture in the backyard.
Yeah, we took the
picture in the backyard by the tree.
By the tree.
Yes,
we ate breakfast. They cooked us a breakfast.
Him, his wife, and us. It was just four of us.
Oh, just four of y'all?
Just the four of us. That's it.
Man, they cooked us some breakfast.
He said they cooked us some breakfast.
They did.
Who married y'all?
A friend of mine named Pierre. He's a preacher. He got a church. I don't know where. I forgot the name of the church. But he got, him and his wife, they both preach. But they married us, man. And they fixed us some breakfast and everything.
He keeps saying that breakfast.
He said, that breakfast was good money.
It was good. I remember the breakfast. It was good.
And then y'all went and took a picture in front of the tree.
In front of the tree.
We did. And that said, was it.
I had a pink polo on.
And I had on a white dress.
She had a white dress. Well, I remember.
Yes.
So what did y'all think about each other then? Did y'all have people in y'all ear talking about y'all getting married too fast, y'all don't know each other that?
Oh, yeah.
We did.
How did y'all weather that?
I mean, we were so in love. Mm. We were so in love in the beginning, in the beginning of that relationship. We were just, we didn't care about anything.
Really true.
You don't care what nobody said?
No. Nah.
Y'all said we with each other, and that's what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And y'all were married for almost 10 years before y'all... What caused the breakup? What caused the, and you know, with marriage, just a whole lot of stuff that can happen in those 9 years. Mm-hmm. But where did y'all, at what point did y'all start feeling adversity?
So it was the 9th year. That was really, really hard for us. And I don't know, we was just arguing all the time over just simple,
stupid stuff,
small things that turned into huge, big, you know, fights. And
my honest opinion, I think it was egos.
Cause y'all making money at this point.
Cause like a lot had changed by now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talk about what has changed. What changed at this point?
I mean, so zip codes.
Being honest.
Square footage.
Yeah, everything.
And I guess we kinda at this point we kinda feel like it was a competition.
Competition.
Between us.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
So why? What made it shift to a competition?
Outside. I me personally, listen to outsiders.
What would they say? She make more money than you or you make more money than her?
That type of stuff. People trying to figure out.
Who makes the most money?
Who makes the most money or who really carrying the weight. And I think that kind of might kind of made a rip between us.
So at that point, 9th year, what were you doing?
So I was doing hair. We had the event center.
Mm-hmm.
We had the tax office, credit repair. What else?
Cars.
And the car sales.
And then what were you doing?
She just named all of them.
Everything except the hair.
All right.
He was doing all that except
why would, this is what I understand. Why do people be in people's business like that? If y'all a couple, it's y'all stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she just named, I asked, what was she doing? She named everything that y'all were doing. You see what I'm saying?
Because we did it all together.
But you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what were you doing?
Right.
And she named all these things. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what were you doing? You said all of this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we then, do it together.
But then y'all allow somehow for people to say, she's doing this, you doing this, she's making this money, you making this amount of money. And nobody, how can anybody ever know?
Because since we've been back together, it's been the best because we don't keep nobody in our business no more.
There it is.
And that's simple
that just,
as that.
Like, keep everybody
And that was our rule, our thing when we got back together. We was like, this time, like, nobody, nothing. Like,
if
what?
If we argue, if we do this, whatever.
Anything. It's between us.
It's
right here.
Facts.
And we've been doing well.
In that moment, 9th year, what caused it to really get to the point? What was the breaking point where it says, I have to leave, I'm finna relocate? What was that breaking point?
Me was
for him being jealous. And it was a night that we went out, and he said that I was looking at some guys, and we had a fight, and that, for me, that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Well, y'all went out where? Y'all was at a club or a restaurant or what
we
was it?
We was at a video release.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he said you was looking at a guy. And were y'all, was there any infidelity in the marriage at that point that made trust be broken on neither one of y'all's part?
No. Mm-hmm.
And so what made you feel like that, Marcus?
Man, the dude, I ain't gonna lie to you, though. Man, dudes know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say she was actually.
He might have been looking at me, but yeah, I wasn't looking at him.
I feel like, I ain't gonna lie to you, I feel like the dude was looking at her, and I don't know if she, you know, if she kind of
gave him an eye,
let him know that she see him. And, you know, and the kind of dude kind of got more confident. You know what I mean?
And what did he do? He walked over there and talked to her?
No, he didn't do that.
I see, look at Marcus.
No,
said,
he didn't do that. Marcus, you know, he had a partner with him, so they was just doing, you know.
Marcus, why would he do that?
Yeah. You know, like, nah, it was more like, you know, Marcus, like, nah, he didn't do that. More of this. Like, you walk by and you just doing this.
Yeah.
To get them eyes.
Get catch the attention.
Yeah, he was just trying to get me. He was just like, just a little bit too confident. And I just didn't like it. But, you know, and then that could be my insecurities at the time, you know what I'm saying? I'm big enough to
admit that, yeah.
You know, but.
But what? Ain't no but.
We know.
And so you noticed the guy look at her, but
I don't trip about that.
But
I ain't
you blame
about that.
Her for
like,
it.
I don't care about that. I got a beautiful woman. Like, I really don't. I just don't. Honest to God, truth, I just don't need her to let her know.
That a dude can.
That she seen him.
Yeah, and I didn't, but he.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even though he's looking, don't let him know you see him looking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, like, that'd be my hope.
Or just grab you a little closer, kiss you, or do something to make
him know. Yeah. But just let him know, you know.
Yeah.
He ain't got no chance.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
Saying?
Fact.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But, you know, it is what it is, though. But, like, now.
And that was the big blow up. And then you said, I'm finna
leave. That wasn't the big blow up. It was just that was just the icing on the cake.
Yeah, that was it.
It was more to that than that. We was, you know, more stuff than that. But, you know, like, that was just a bad year.
Were y'all doing well that year financially?
Yeah, we was doing all right. I mean, we, you know, it was cool.
Yeah,
we was staying prosper. You know, it was nice. Yeah, but it just, that was just a bad year for us. Like, it was,
yeah,
like,
not I ain't gonna lie to you,
it was just a power.
It was all about power during that time.
Yeah, I really feel like that.
A straight power struggle.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't me trying to make, like, honest to God, true, like, we never had a relationship where you know, like I run this, you run, you know, like it was always been like, you know, it's, you know, we kind of like play our parts. But I don't know, for some reason that year it was kind of like, you know, like, cause I've never been the type of guy like, hey, I need a woman to go cook, clean, do this, that, other stuff. You know, she never been the type of woman gonna be like, hey, I need a man gonna pay this, do this, do this, do that. You know, like she ain't that type of woman either. You know what I mean? So it's like, we kind of like just gel to where like I make what she needs better, I do that, and what I need better, she do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we kind of like, it kind of works for us. You know what I'm saying?
But that year, it just stopped working.
It was more of a, it was like a power thing. Real, you know,
it didn't
like,
work that year.
It was like, you know, trying to, I'm a big man. I'm a big woman.
I'm from Pleasant Grove.
You know what I'm saying? I'm from Oak Cliff. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm from Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, exactly. I used to feel like, I used to be like, oh, she hate on me because I'm from the Cliffs. You know what I'm saying?
So, y'all resent tripping?
Yeah. In the bed.
In the bed. Right here.
You know, so, you know, it was, you know.
It was just everything. Just everything. So, what do you think it was, Harriet?
I mean, it was a lot of what I said then. To like both of us feeling unappreciated, you know what I'm saying? Taking each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that, because now that we're back, we're able to look at all of the things we miss, from the small things, you know, me picking up his dirty clothes in the bathroom after he get out the shower. Little, you know what I'm saying? Just everything, for him cooking for me every day, me not having to, you know, move a finger. He's cooking gourmet meals. Just all this, these little things that we missed and we took for granted before. You know, now we could look and say, man, dang, I appreciate you for all that. You know, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Yeah. You don't see it. Like it ain't about money. It's about, like, to help you get the money. You know, like your peace of mind. You know, saying like, you know, okay, I ain't got to worry about this. Cause I know that that's automatically gonna be done.
Yeah,
and like with her, like I know I don't have to worry about certain things. She gonna automatically do it. You know, just like with me, she ain't got to worry about this. He gonna do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but when you lose one another, you're like, now I got to worry about all of this. You know what I'm saying?
Dang, I gotta find something to eat.
Yeah,
you mean I gotta cook?
Now I gotta clean up.
Cause you just said you had to worry about no food at all. So you gonna literally feed her every day?
Yeah.
He cook every day.
Yeah, well, if I don't cook, I'm gonna
make sure you don't get something.
Right, but he pretty much cooks every
and like,
day.
She gonna make sure the house is smelling good and clean. And
y'all just always been like that. And then it just stopped and y'all looked around like,
this ain't what's up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's always been like that. But like I said, you know, we didn't appreciate that. You know, we didn't realize what we had. Until
it was gone.
And then you able to look and say, man, he wasn't all that bad. Wait a minute. You know?
Right.
So that's kind of our situation.
So when you seen her move to Atlanta, what did that do to you, King?
It did something, especially with my kids down there. You know what I mean? At the time, I was glad she was gone. I'm gonna be honest.
Why?
But I wanted my kid, you know. I mean, we was at that point where it was.
You was like, please be gone. I need some peace.
Yeah.
Like at the time, I was glad she was gone, but I wanted, you know, I didn't know she was gonna go to her. I didn't know she would go down with Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? But you know,
I didn't go to Arlington, not Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. But it made us stronger though. It made us strong.
You said, let me show you. Was you doing that as a point to show him?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm finna. If I knew somebody in Alaska, Hawaii, I'd have went there just to show him.
Around the corner wasn't
good
enough.
You know, you do stuff to show people. Let me show him. I could go to the moon and be okay.
Yeah. We both was okay, though. Yeah.
We both was fine. Right.
Yeah, we was okay.
Fake okay.
Oh, man. It was terrible.
It was. I mean, you know how you think you want something? And then when you get it, you're like, woo. maybe that was what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's how it was. You know, it was like,
what did I do?
Yeah, like, man, I really, you know. Like, you know, so like when she came back to Dallas, it was really good. You know, like everything that happened in the midst of all this, like it's weird. But like even with our new restaurant, like the stuff that she had to go to Atlanta.
To learn
some stuff
like
that I need to learn. And like for her, she needs to go away for me to find out some stuff that I need to learn. And once we brought it all back together, now we got Gorilla Nuts. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's a trip. You know what I'm saying?
So Gorilla Nuts is their new restaurant that they have together. And they are known for these strawberry. See, one thing I'm mad at y'all. I got a bone to pick with y'all, literally, because y'all could have came with some wings or something.
I should have.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You are like right.
You talk about these strawberry wings,
we
right?
Yeah. Be back.
If we hadn't split up.
That would have never came, huh?
That would never came.
Isn't that crazy?
Nah, yeah. That's why I look at it. I always say that everything is in divine order. Like, everything happens for you. It happens not to you, but for you. Like, everything we went through, I'm being honest, though, man. It's like, it was like we had to do that.
So how did y'all give each other grace? You may have couples right now that may be separated. The guy's dating some other woman. She's dating some other guy. How did y'all find grace for each other, not to let egos get involved with, you know, you done had this woman and you done had this. How did y'all find grace to put all that aside and be able to say, forget what we did in the interim that, you know, we locking in again?
Because you've been gone. I've been gone a year, been away from each other a year. You done did some things and I've done some things as well,
right.
Period. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to be together, we already know we can't keep going back, throwing up old things, because that's not gonna work.
Can't worry about nothing you can't change.
Period. Facts. We can't change none of that.
Facts. Can't worry about
all
that.
We can do is move on. We can't even worry about.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Right.
Just focus on something you can't change.
The worst.
And keep arguing about every day.
You're going to go crazy.
Every day.
Yeah, you're going to go crazy. You can't change. It is what it is.
It is, yeah. So that's.
No, you can't.
You can't. Like, if you really love each other, which we do, we're going to put all that, you know, to the back behind us, like it never happened. Play like it never happened.
Like Jesus said, it's too much money in front of us.
That's what Jesus said.
That's what Jesus said. It's too much money in front of me to worry about this. Worry about that BS behind
and
me.
Move forward. That's
did y'all go through counseling individually or collectively?
We did. We had.
We went during our
marriage.
Our marriage. It did
that
not
might
work.
Why we got
it
divorced.
Didn't, it didn't work for us.
How you say counselors why y'all got divorced?
Yeah, I think we scared that lady. Like, we was right.
We got into a real bad
we was in there. Oh, my. It was terrible.
You see how scared that lady?
I think we scared the lady. She didn't want us to come. She was like,
then we tried some friends. And we think they really sabotaging us. You know what I'm saying?
What they do? What they say?
Man, it was just weird, man. Same people that married us. It was just weird, you know.
So
we left that alone.
Yeah. You said they sabotage y'all?
I ain't going to say that, because we was already
messed up.
We was already going through it, you know what I'm saying? But I think they just...
Did anybody ever tell y'all the best option is to get a divorce?
Nah, I think that's what we just said on our own, though. You know what I really think, though? I felt like the divorce made it like, all right, we it's over. We out each other's life. You know what I mean? But is that really, you know, like, it made it seem like, I don't know, like, to me, it was like finalizing the chapter.
Yeah.
But then it was like, you know, like.
You really don't want it to end.
Nah, you really don't. Because it was like, nah, it's like, damn, we ain't got nothing to hold on to. You know what I'm saying?
We got the kids.
Yeah, it was,
how many kids y'all have together?
Two.
I have two together. How many total?
Morgan and Mason, eight.
Eight.
You have eight kids together.
Eight grandkids.
And eight grandkids.
Eight grandkids.
Mm-hmm. So break it up. How is these eight kids divvied up?
Okay, so
I got six of my own.
All right, you have six of your own.
I got two together.
And two together.
Yeah, and I have four. So two of those.
She got two by herself.
Huh? How's that eight?
Okay,
then?
So I came with two.
Right.
Right? And he came with four.
Four.
Okay.
And then we had two together.
Okay, because he said six. He said he came with six.
Yeah, I got six. And I got two
with
her.
Two of her, yeah.
And she had two already.
And then y'all have eight grandkids.
Yes.
What are the ages of y'all's kids? From the youngest, just say the youngest kid is this age, and the oldest one is what age?
Between the two of y'all, seven, and the oldest is 25.
And 25. And so, how did your kids deal with that divorce?
They hated it, but they were still tight.
Yeah.
So your kids stayed together.
We're not going to let our parents break us up and separate us. We still brothers and sisters. So,
How do they feel that y'all back together?
They're happy. All of them.
Right now, my grandkids, everybody, you know, I'm in one house. You know, like, it's us. You know, it's what we created, you know.
Are they all still live there?
No, oh, I'm kids? Saying like
oh, me, no, no, the older ones.
No, they have their own. 25.
Now, all the kids got their own place to stay, but we got a house full. Like as far as like our grandkids, you know, every weekend, you know, the house stay pretty live.
So how do y'all feel having come through all that and now y'all are back together? Y'all only spent what, a year and 3 months apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel that y'all are back together?
I feel stronger than ever.
Do you think y'all ever go through that foolishness again and walk away from each other?
I hope not.
No.
Is there like in your mind when y'all got back together, did y'all deal with whatever it was that caused the divide and said, listen, we finna rock it till we in rocking chairs.
Yes.
This is it. I already tasted and seen.
Exactly.
My life is nothing without you.
Yes. Yeah. And we don't want to do that again.
It's like your biggest fear is to lose a person. So we already went through that.
Yes.
Right.
You already seen how that felt. You know, her being with somebody else and me being with somebody else.
And watching each other deal with that.
Yeah, watching it too. You know, like we actually seen that and felt that. So it's like, it really ain't nothing else.
Answer that then, Marcus. How'd you feel seeing her with somebody else?
He was trash. I want a million people to hear that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a step down. It was like 10 steps down.
Marcus, it was 10 steps down?
Yeah, man.
All right, Harriet, shots fired.
Ditto.
How was the girl?
Ditto. That's it. Times 20. Next.
Yeah, I ain't even no hater. I'm just speaking facts. You know what I'm saying?
Me too.
And so how was it hard for y'all to co-parent in that situation? Were y'all still on talking terms?
Yeah, we were.
Cool. And you know, it never took away from him being a wonderful dad, period.
Good.
And people like, why are you going to send the kids
good,
down
Marcus.
There? And I was like, he love his kids.
Good, Marcus.
That's one reason why I chose to be with him in the beginning, because I saw how he was with his kids.
Marcus, bruh, I salute you.
Appreciate
because at the end of the day, dang, I'm about to get choked up. At the end of the day, you can't control oftentimes a woman leaving you or whatever happens in that situation. Sometimes marriages don't work. I want every marriage to work that's healthy. But even if the marriage doesn't work, those kids should not suffer from the parenthood of it.
Right.
And sometimes you got to work extra hard for it because you're all long distance and putting kids on planes and all that and working out a different visitation schedule. But for her to be able to salute you and say, listen, we didn't work as husband and wife, but he's a doggone good father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to have or alienate my kids, our kids, because sometimes women start talking about, it's my kids. No, okay, did you have a kid by yourself? No, our kids, they need both parents. And the fact that she said that as a man, she said, no. But then that's crazy because, like you said, people are being your ear talking about, why are you going to send him to?
Yeah.
It's his kid.
Why are you sending? Exactly.
Talking about why I'm going to send
it's his
kids
kid
to him.
And I'm tired. Get them. Get both of them.
Get both of them today.
Yeah. Today.
And tell me when you want to bring them back. Keep as long as you want.
They belong to him. Why would I deny him?
And so when you look at that whole situation and y'all have come back together and the kids are happy now. Now the kids are thriving. You also said that y'all, not only are y'all so intentional with a do-over, but y'all have even left the house that y'all had before and starting over in a new house. Why was that important?
Just a new beginning, new start. And this house is our dream house, as a matter of fact.
That's Marcus, how many square footage? What's the square footage?
A little over 6,000. Not that big.
He's not that big. So this y'all dream home. Y'all gonna stay here for a minute.
It is our forever.
It's our forever home.
Yes.
Did y'all? Was it something that y'all already built? Y'all were building it, or something that y'all about?
No,
it's just like
when we got back together, we was renting at the time and looking for something to buy. So we just came across this one Sunday, and oh my God.
You ever had a journal?
Yeah.
You know, you write down what you want, you draw what you want. I you know, draw who you want with you.
There it is.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, see And like, it's here.
And you saw that and you said, this thing is what I prayed for, what I asked for, what I journaled about.
Man, if I show you the picture of it, it's built like a dude don't know how to draw. I mean, you know, but it's a nice house, but you know, it's just, but
And so y'all got this house, not even married yet. No. So y'all, so and when
start a business, everything.
Start a whole business.
A whole business.
We got a house, house. Ain't even married yet.
Yeah. No. Well, we really are though. I mean, you know, divorce is paper. You know, I got to get her paperwork to make her feel, you know. But I really like the divorce was more or less just really like, what you call it? You know how she went to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Let me give you your
divorce. Let me give you it was like, I'm going to show you. You know what I'm saying? It was, that's really
all. Oh, you filed for divorce.
Nah, she filed. But I finalized it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she filed.
I didn't want to finalize it.
She didn't want to finalize it.
Oh, you didn't?
Nah.
Also, you filed, but you didn't. You
was going. We went to the courthouse. I walked out. I was crying. I couldn't even do it.
I went in. I told her, like, man, she went back to Atlanta. And he just went on and like, what's your girl? I went on and gave my divorce, you know what I'm saying? I walked up by myself, you know what I'm saying? And then we lied. I'm just going to keep our way.
Yeah.
We lied about a month, about 2 months, because she was going to come back to Atlanta to finalize it, right? And I was like, she was like, well, you know, I'm going to come back this girl. We told her, I said, man, I'm going to just keep 100. You ain't got to come back. You know?
It's already done. We divorced.
And then it was like, dang, it's real. You know, because I was like, really lying. I didn't want her to know it was real yet. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know, you know, like I tell you, it was more of a less like, since you in Atlanta, I'm going to go on the show.
Yeah.
But.
What'd you think when you found out it was real, that he really divorced?
I was heartbroken. I was like, oh my God, he really did it. He really divorced me.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe I did
it. I was like, he really did.
Cause she filed. You know, I know it. But she, you know, she didn't want to do it. But it was like a.
You like, oh, you gonna leave me? I got something to show you.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you. Like, yeah, we're gonna really gonna do it, dude, you know. But you know, I'm glad like now, all the stuff that we went through, man, and like we here.
What is here? When you like, say we're here, I want y'all
in the
both.
Present.
I know. I want y'all both to tell me what here means to you, because you keep saying that. And that's a powerful statement. So, from you, Marcus, what is here?
Like, I'm really living my dream. You know what I mean? Like, I got my kids, my wife with me. We working together. You know, building a business together. We, you know, got my grandkids together. You know, like, you know, I'm here now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really living my dream.
Harriet, what is here?
Here for me is just at peace and where you want to be. That's here.
That's powerful. What do y'all look forward to the most as y'all continue to build legacy with each other? Y'all are business partners with each other. Y'all are purpose partners. I always say that one of the things I said, you can marry people, and that can be your wife or husband. And I said, yes, I'll have that. But what I'm more interested in is my purpose partner. When you listen, and when you listen the way y'all talk about each other, y'all are needed to fulfill each other's purpose. Like he said, I wouldn't have had strawberry wings if it wasn't for her going to Atlanta. Explain that, because you mentioned it, but people may not know what that means.
No, I'm saying like you have a dream, right? You know, you see it, you know, but you know what they say, like, if God told you what you're going to have to go through to get to it, you're probably like, I don't want
none of that.
But, you know what I'm saying, like, if you really believe in your dream and you stick to it, you stay with it. Like, when I'm saying, like, when I said, like, she had to go to Atlanta, we had to split up. We had to do all that to get to there, you know what I'm saying, to get to where we at now.
Right.
And that's what I mean by that, like, you know, sometimes you just got to really believe that it's all gonna work out for the greatest good, you know what I'm saying? For the better good of you, you know
yeah.
What I mean? And it will.
And how these strawberry wings come to?
She ate it. She probably went on a date in Atlanta.
You know, I did not go on a date.
I'm high side, you know. I'm high side.
I went in the middle of the day while the kids was at school. It was a place down there that sold strawberry wings, and it was really good. So when I came home, I was like, you need to try them. They was real good. Just go buy some stuff.
And make it up.
Man, who's in the kitchen?
You was in the cooking.
Man, who's in the kitchen? Like, like, try this, baby.
Nope,
she really, she's really picky.
Oh, really?
So, like, the whole menu, you know, is like she tasted it. You know what I mean? If she says good,
it's man, good. Because she picky.
So
super
picky.
You know what I mean? She's not gonna eat. You know, she gonna, you know, she gonna tell you. You know, so like, you know, that's but taste tester. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to let him know. Back to the drawing board. Yeah.
And so you would always encourage him throughout the years. Did you ever encourage him to open up a restaurant? Is that where y'all got the first food truck from? Or?
So we, like I said, he'd been cooking forever. And we've had the idea of a restaurant about, what, 5 years ago maybe? Yes, but it was just something that we talked about. We jotted down, you know, a few ideas. So while I was away, we was away from each other, he bought a food truck while he was with the girl. And
who's he with?
The girl.
So we'll leave it at that.
The girl. So when he was over there, he had bought a food truck. So we got back together. I was like, well, what are you doing with the food truck? I don't know. I want to do something, you know. He didn't really know. And I was like, well, why won't we, you know, open up and sell some food? He was like, okay, well, what we going to sell? He was like, okay, this is what we going to sell. And I started wrote down a menu. And here we are.
You see what I'm saying? See, that's I love it when couples work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I always believe this. Now, I'm telling you, I just truly believe this. When you're married to the right person, they're literally the missing puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. It's like, you cannot do it with that other person. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. And people always say, nah, I'm my own man. I can make stuff happen. That level that you can't make happen, you need her for it.
Yeah.
You got to. I'm telling you, I believe that to the core of my soul. And the same thing for her. What she needs is you. It's like she can go do 10,000 sew-ins or whatnot.
Right.
But for the other part that's missing that she don't even know that she needs, you come and you go, hey, baby, why don't you try this? Why don't you do this? Let's open up another shop. You working too hard. Mm-hmm. You away from the kids so much. What if we open this? You get some other people working for you. You like, oh, yeah. Oh, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other side of you that begins to think on your behalf. And that's why I get so excited to talk to people like y'all, is to say, listen, we've been through all this stuff.
Right.
It worked. Then we self-sabotage our own marriage based upon what happened.
Self-sabotage.
You sit back and be like, because sometimes stuff can be working so good that it don't work. You be like, you know what, something, I don't know about something. You be like, what?
Something don't feel right.
Something don't feel right. I'm telling you.
Too good to be true.
Listen, I've talked to women who said that they've ended their relationship because it was too normal. And you said at the very beginning, you said that you boring.
I'm boring.
You boring. You can get with a toxic woman and she will find you like, why you ain't like, I need to be able to check your phone. What's going on? You be like, well, here's my phone. Why you giving your phone so easy?
Yeah.
You be like, because I ain't got nothing to hide. You hide something. Where's another phone? I bet you got another phone. Here's my other phone. You be like, here's my other phone. Nah, it's another phone that you hide. That's my only two phones. So why'd you give it to me so quickly? You know what the problem is? You probably got it in this app and you just be like, I don't know what's wrong with this person. Because they're so used to toxicity.
Right.
That normal relationships are too boring and it has to be something wrong. So we sabotage it by creating issues that's not even there. Mm-hmm. And so what's so crazy about it is that I love the fact that y'all been able to weather through all this foolishness in order to get to a place where y'all say, we locked in. We locked in. We are here forever. We got our forever home. Yeah. We got these businesses that we're starting. What other business y'all got now? Is it just consolidated to this one business?
So we have that. That's our main focus. That's our baby. And then starting our nonprofit, which is Furnished Futures, where getting out of prison or getting out of a shelter, getting back on your feet, got your first apartment. We donate furniture and we decorate it. So that's what that is.
That's what y'all gonna be doing. Y'all already got that?
We did one yesterday. Yes.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
I just got out of prison yesterday. Can y'all come furnish my new home?
You don't need anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all come furnish my home. I just got me. That's good. What made y'all decide to do that? Of course, it's kind of obvious, but what made y'all decide to do that?
Of course, you know, my sister Nikki Watson and her
design quad.
Her design quad. And I've been wanting to do something. I've been wanting to give back for a long time. Talk to him all the time about it. So I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? So this is it. So
you know what? I'm gonna challenge y'all on this. This is cool because this just came up where I have a friend that has this this girl's home, and I got a call the other day where just last week, and they were saying that I want to design the media room for the girls for foster home. Mm-hmm. And so if I would love for y'all to look at that and see if y'all want to design the girls home for these foster kids, because that'd be right up y'all alley, and that'd be so dope. So that'd be dope. I'll plug y'all with the contact. What is something that you would like to say as far as the naysayers, the people that may wonder or question why y'all still together, why y'all got back together and all this type of stuff. And it's even if y'all have those people around, what would you say to them?
Let me go first. I'm gonna say like my grandson. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. That's my grandson would say.
He said nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Chase. Oh my God.
I love it. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Hashtag.
Yeah. What would I say?
Let me ask you this. Do y'all have people that be like,
oh yeah, we done had
them. Yes.
Do they tell y'all that?
Or it's just like we ain't got no friends. Because, you know, the truth came out. You know what I mean? It was like, once we started back talking, they really showed their true colors, like, you know.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I don't have any words. I don't have any words. No words.
Yeah, nobody care.
No words.
I mean that. Nobody cares.
Which is good. And the reality is that, is the fact that God never said you need everybody's opinion to be married.
No.
And if you take too many people's opinions in something, it will never work.
I mean, yours don't matter.
At all. And the reality is that when you think about, we were never meant to consume this amount of, this. Like, you look at social media. If you have, let's say you only have 500 followers. And if you get a tenth of those commenting, saying something negative, we weren't built to consume 50 negative comments every day. Like, that'll send you all over the edge. You know what I'm saying? We never were meant to get that many people's opinion on stuff. Mm-hmm. But we consume these opinions on a daily, and even in our personal lives, nobody ain't helping y'all pay y'all bills.
Right.
Nobody ain't helping y'all. I'm quite sure when y'all lay down and have sex, y'all not taking instructions from other people. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need you, Marcus, to lay like this with her. Harry, I need you to do this. Nobody telling y'all that. You know what I'm saying? You know, nobody's telling you how to have an orgasm, how to please her body, but then they feel like they have a right to tell you whether or not y'all should be married or not.
Right.
Like, ain't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Why I say we got to stay out of people's business. Listen, I enjoyed y'all so much. This episode is going to be titled Spin the Block.
Spin the Block.
Spin the Block. Whenever y'all have this, well, I ain't going to say vow renewal. This would be a remarriage. When y'all have this remarriage, can I get an invitation?
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's eight people there. I want to be one of them. I gotta be in the house so I can salute y'all, do a prayer over y'all so this time around is 10 times better.
Yes.
And see, the Bible says that where two or more are gathered in his name, there shall he be in the midst. So I don't know what y'all's faith level was the first go around, but I encourage y'all to infuse a whole lot of Jesus in that thing the second time around, so that he'll build something. What he says, what he has joined together, let no man put asunder, not even Harriet, not even Marcus can put that thing asunder, which means tear that thing apart. So hey, y'all give it up for my people. I'm gonna put a link to their restaurant in the description, and so everybody in the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex and around, make sure y'all go out and patronize my friends. Y'all give it up for the speed, y'all.
Thank you.
LaDarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While LaDarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, LaDarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. none of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless Black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Man, I really enjoy this episode, talking to the Speeds. I love when people keep it lit. You know, the moniker is we live intentionally and transparently. And so I love that the Speeds just kept it 1,000. I love when I meet transparent people. So hopefully you found value in this episode. It added a little wrinkle in your brain to let you know that love comes with a little bit of complications, that as we go through this journey, that we have to be committed to making it work. And so I just love it. Anyway, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, as I pen these words, I'm drawn to the metaphorical canvas of life, where storms brew and winds whip fiercely. In the tapestry of our shared existence, I see not just the sunny days, but also the tempests that will challenge us. Know this, my love, when the skies darken and the thunder roars, I am your unwavering anchor. In the tumultuous sea of uncertainties, we'll navigate hand in hand, our love, an unyielding lighthouse guiding us through the turbulence. Our journey won't be defined by the storms, but refined by them. In the face of adversity, we'll stand resilient, finding strength in each other. Let our love be the sanctuary amid chaos, a haven where vulnerability is embraced and authenticity reigns. As raindrops cascade, let's dance with joy, unafraid of getting wet. For every storm we weather will be a chapter in our story, a testament to the depth and endurance of our connection. So my dearest future wifey, let's not just weather the storms, let's revel in the beauty of our love, strengthened by each challenge. Your future hubby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.